So I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Time to play the game! Time to play the game! It's all about the game, and how you play it. All about control, and if you can take it. All about your debt, and if you can pay it. It's all about pain, and who's gonna make it. I am the game, you don't wanna play me. I am control, no way you can shake me. I am heavy debt, no way you can pay me. I am the pain, and I know you can't take me. Look over your shoulder, ready to run, like a crazy bitch from a smoking gun. I am the game, and I may lose, so move on out here and die like a fool. Try to figure out what my mood's gonna be. Come on over, circle, why don't you ask me? Don't you forget there's a price you can pay, cause I am the game and I want to play.
Welcome to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by LouisvillePolitics.com, where you can go for all the latest, catch replays of this show or any other investigations or anything else we've got going on. Make sure when you go to LouisvillePolitics.com, you'll also join the RSS feed and join our news service. You get all your updates delivered right to your inbox. In the meantime, for those of you listening to the show live, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the numbers. For you guys on AOL, you can instant message me direct at myviewmatters@AOL.com. And for those of you who are already in the queue, we appreciate you guys. You have no idea how many people show up in this queue right out of the gate every show. It's incredible, and we thank you. But make sure you push that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard live on air. Now on to business. Ed Martin is not here yet. We expect him momentarily. You know, sometimes he gets busy working on that job that Barack Obama built for him. So he sometimes just runs a little bit late taking care of business. So he should be here. And when he gets here, we'll just bring him right in. In the meantime, as always, a lot to talk about. You know, we have got Jamie Comer, the ag commissioner. Yeah, you guessed it. Jamie Comer is coming under fire for a $2.5 million Kentucky agriculture loan that he gave to an energy company. There's some critics who are sitting out there trying to challenge him for this loan. Now, to make sure you guys really understand what this is all about, the Kentucky Agriculture, they give out loans to businesses, you know, that are trying to help ag, help energy, you know, things that the agriculture committee looks at. Well, here's the thing. Jamie Comer actually went and gave a $2.5 million loan to a company called Chara Inc., C-H-A-R-A-H. You know, they wanted to open up a factory that was going to turn scrubber waste into some kind of a sulfur fertilizer. So Ag Commissioner Jamie, of course, you know, Jamie Cumber said, yeah, sure. You know, he went through all of this. Well, you know, the problem is now we've got people coming out of woodwork saying that he shouldn't have done that, that Kentucky won't see a sulfur deficiency for decades. Kentucky farmers who apply sulfur are basically wasting their money. This is all out of the University of Kentucky School of Agriculture. Of course, who would expect any less from them, right? Because the School of Agriculture wants to sit here and try to act like they have some idea what's going on. You know, what they don't. So they're going to sit here and downgrade Jamie Cumber, you know, trying to act like they're smarter than he is. Well, that creates a big problem. And when we get into this discussion, let's go ahead and bring Mr. Martin in now. He just joined us. How are you, sir?
All right, sir. I had myself a nice technology burp there for a little bit. You hate to admit these things sometimes, but I went and picked up my phone. I'm like, I'm time to call on the show here. And like, crap, all my numbers are gone. They only picked up since last Friday. It's like they all disappeared. I'm like, oh,
uh-oh.
No.
So you had to look up our own number.
Online real quick. It's like, what the hell's the number? Because it's usually just, you know, I go back in the recents and hit it, and I'm like,
right.
Oh, crap, I'm so lame.
Well, I hear you. Well, for those of you who don't know, I'm not the only Fred Flintstone of the internet or tech services. Ed Martin actually is my Barney. So, you know, we make a great team when it comes to that.
Which is a shame, because can we you know, be fairly incompetent and, you know, to the point that there's no use even being embarrassed about it. We are. It's always
well,
so damn dependent on it, too. That's where it really gets ironic, is since we're slaves to it on top of that. Without it, we're lost.
Well, that's exactly it. Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right, because technology is a way of life today, especially for what I do and what you do. You know, I mean, I run the two websites. I've got this radio show. MVM Media is growing leaps and bounds. You know, we're practically doubling each and every month and have been for many months. So, for somebody who relies on technology, you think I'd be a lot smarter about it, and unfortunately I'm not. But I admit that. That's why I have people that do that kind of stuff for me. You know. But in the meantime, kind of get back on things. Jamie Cumber, of course, as I was saying, folks, gave a $2.5 million loan to Chara Inc. On Earth Day. Chara Inc. was going to open up a factory to turn scrubber waste into sulfur fertilizer. Jamie Cumber thought that was a good idea. He says it was needed because the Clean Air Act had left the state's farmland deficient in sulfur. And, of course, the University of Kentucky School of Agriculture is crying that Jamie Cumber is wrong, doesn't know what he's talking about. Kentucky won't see any kind of a sulfur deficiency for decades, and any Kentucky farmers who apply sulfur are basically wasting their money. Well, the question becomes at this point, you know, why are we challenging Jamie Cumber on this particular situation about a $2.5 million loan? And I want to make sure people understand, Ed, that as this $2.5 million loan is just that, it's a $2.5 million loan for 7 years, and it's going to pay 3.25% interest. Now, is that a low interest? Yes, but it's not grant money. It's not free money. It's a loan, and we're going to make profits on that at 3.25%. Does this seem like a bad deal for you, whether we need sulfur in Kentucky or not?
Well, I tell you what, you know, you're talking to Mr. Biomass himself here. I do seminars pro bono on biomass, and the simple fact of, you know, $2.5 million. It's a loan, so it will be paid back. But, you know me. You've known me for years. If I can find a way to take a waste material and make something productive out of it, I don't have to make any money out of it. I'll just do it because, you know, as I always say, that's what a thinking man does. So,
right.
You know what? I don't care if it's sulfur deficient or not. You know what? If they're going to make fertilizer out of it, it's like, oh, well, you know, hey, maybe in Kentucky they don't need it. Maybe they don't need it. Well, so what? You're taking crap, you know, refuse from power plants, and you're making something useful out of it. So at that point, I'm all for it with Cumber. I don't care if it was a $2 million grant. It's like, hey,
well,
you're taking garbage and making something useful out of it. You're critics. Shut up.
Well, and the whole thing here is, I mean, we're not giving away money. I mean, you know, the big problem that
no.
a lot of people are griping about is they say that the program that the loan money came from was supposed to be intended to be used for Kentucky-grown food commodities, and that's it. However, you know, the Finance Corporation officials, which are largely made up of Steve Beshear appointees, you know, said that, you know, this wasn't a bad loan, and it's going to help the state's coal industry. So, what? Yes, if we're going to make 3.25% interest on it, that's going to make more money readily available for other food commodity places, because that's, you know, that's beneficial. It's profit. So I don't get this. You know, Adam.
Well,
Barr,
yeah, that and it'll, you know, and taking waste and converting it into something useful, it's probably
right.
going to keep the EPA off your ass a little bit. It's you know, it's probably going to keep some clean air and some water people off your ass a little bit. It's taking a waste material and making something useful out of it, whether it's, you know, entirely profitable or it's just a, it's, you know, there are no gray areas as far as whether it's needed or not. You know, again, you're taking garbage and you're taking waste and making something useful out of it. You're probably removing some pressure from the coal. You know, we're powered far and away by coal more than anything in the state of Kentucky. Now you take your coal waste, and, you know, it's a good PR move. So it's a
good thing.
Well,
at the same time,
we're taking waste and making something productive out of it. I don't know how people can complain about that.
I don't either. What's really fascinating here is Adam Barr. He's a Meade County farmer. He's a former board of Community Farm Alliance, which is a Frankfurt-based group that wants to support sustainable farming, right? There's nothing sustainable about sustainable farming, folks, because these guys only care about what they can get. They don't care about anything else. But he wants to go on record as saying that this appears to be a high-level passing out of favors. Well, unfortunately, you know, he really doesn't have a clue. And according to Jamie Comer, and I love the way he responded to this, he says, I'm talking to actual farmers and fertilizer dealers, and there's a demand for the product, and there's a need by the farmers. I go by the professional cutting-edge farmers and the guys who are actually growing a crop. And I loved that answer. You know, many Kentucky farmers believe that adding sulfur to the soil increases their crops. You know, and if that's the case, then he is actually sitting out here and giving the farmers what they say they need, and he's also making money doing it. How does anybody make an argument out of that?
Yeah, well, like I said, and you can't forget, and they're taking a waste material with a PR problem and making, you know, making a positive out of it. I just, like I say, some people just get angry, they get bitter, they, you know, they didn't get their cut, I don't know. But, you know, like I say, I wouldn't care if it was a $2 million grant, not a loan. It's like, hey, good. We're taking care of waste problems. Good.
Well, that's it. And you know, the big deal is that, you know, the loan went through the Kentucky Agriculture Finance Corp. It's not like Jamie Comer just approved this on his own. It has to go through the Finance Corp. They're the ones that approved it. They approved the loan, you know, on April the 15th. It's a 7-year loan, 3.25% interest, as I talked about. But what apparently Adam Barr and these other people are angry about is the fact that the chair of president and CEO is Charles Price, and his wife is Janet Price, who's the vice president, but they both contribute to Republican causes and candidates. They've contributed to Senator Mitch McConnell. They attended a ribbon cutting with Rand Paul. And, you know, they've also spent time with LG&E KU Energy executives, that kind of a deal. But, you know, what's really interesting here, you know, is this whole loan cut completely across party lines. This was a bipartisan thing. With the exception of Jamie Comer, the finance board, the finance corporation who approved this, is comprised 100% of Steve Beshear appointees. Beshear, of course, backs the coal industry. So if we look at this, how can these people be making this a claim and trying to say that Jamie Comer is making political favors when clearly the Democrats appointed by Steve Beshear are the ones who made the decision, and they're trying to tie it to Jamie Comer and go against the Republicans, which I find is an insult to all of us. That's the whole point of this whole thing, is how petty these guys are going to be trying to reach down the barrel to blame something on somebody that is not responsible. You know what I mean? I mean, it makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and it also makes you wonder, it's like, oh, this is coal waste. I mean, what if this company at some point gets involved with, you know, the mines when you have sulfur runoff and stuff from the mines, and they find a way to take that. You know, it's like, well, you're gonna bitch and moan about that too. And I bet you don't have the balls to take on big coal at the mines. And you know, and this is what that is. I mean, I'm not gonna say I'm an advocate of big coal, but you know, the leftovers, you know, the residuals from burning coal, they're a problem. You know, and and there are problems with everything from extraction, and it's, you know, sulfur is something that happens. So,
well, I mean, that's exactly it.
We're taking waste material and making fertilizer out of it. And if the Kentucky farmers don't need it, well, you know, I'll bet we could sell it somewhere else too.
Well, that's exactly it. I mean, you know, they're selling this stuff everywhere. It's not just Kentucky. You know, the cherry plant sells the sulfur to anybody who requests it, you know, across the country. So it's not just us. You know, and you're recovering coal combustion waste, which is, you know, what we continue griping about is the waste and everything else that comes from coal. So you're recovering all of this stuff, making it a recycling thing. You know, it's creating a nutrient that's going to help farmers all across the country. You know, this is just a situation where we're trying to create a problem where there is none, I guess, if you will. You know, Steve Beshear appointees made this happen. He agreed to do it. You know, Jamie Comer took it to the Finance Corp. They approved it. Steve Beshear appointees were making 3.25% interest, you know, which isn't big interest for something like that. I understand, but we're still making money. And, you know, because we've got a couple of people out there who want to live back in the 50s and don't get it, you know, we're going to have a problem. You know, it makes no sense, but that's one story we needed to get into. Another one we mentioned, I believe, Thursday night with Dale is about MSD fines. Me and Dale touched on this a little bit Thursday night. MSD has been slapped with a $161,000 fine for allowing basically 400 illegal sewage discharges in 2011 and 2012. More than 135 million gallons of sewage, raw sewage, were put into the local waterways. You know, and they had a $329,000 fine given to them in June 2011. This whole deal with MSD, pardon the pun, is starting to stink to high heaven. You know, because we continue having these rate increases by MSD. They have not done one thing to combat these overflows that I'm aware of. I know out here in the south end, in southwest Jefferson County, where I reside at, Dixie Highway area, you get any kind of a rain here at all, you've got sewage coming up out of manholes going into the streets and just running down the road. So, you know, none of this has been corrected with this so-called EPA consent decree that I'm aware of. You know, and what's really fascinating to me here is we've got Tina Halbig, who's supposed to be the president of the Floyd's Fork Environmental Association, who believes in holding MSD accountable and all this other crap. She wants to go on record saying that the fine MSD is paying is too small, but she's glad the agency's issued it, because if there's no enforcement, MSD won't try to do better. Well, here's the thing for Tina Halbig and all these other people. Nobody cares. They really don't, because MSD just raises the rates to cover whatever fines are going to pay. So I've got a real problem with that statement by Halbig. I've got a real problem with MSD. You know, Dennis Sayer, an EPA enforcement official in Atlanta, wants to sit there and tell everybody that these fines are an additional incentive. They're not an additional incentive to fix anything, are they, Ed? All they are is an additional incentive to raise our rates. Is that the way?
When you've got a captive customer base, and you know, as we were saying the other day, when it rains, you now that MSD and water company are the same. When it rains, they bill you for it, so they don't care.
Right.
When you have a drought, and if your water usage goes over a certain amount, you actually pay a premium on it. So they'll get you when it's dry. They'll get you when it's wet. And, no, they don't care. They've got you whether it rains. They've got you whether it doesn't rain. They've got you if they discharge and they get fines and they decide it needs more money. It's just like the JCPS. There's not a lot you can do about it. They're going to raise your rates. You know,
well,
hell, they'll
exactly
raise your rates. If they say, well, we get these discharges during rainfalls, we'll just have to raise the rain tax a little, you know, the runoff tax a little more. So, yeah, I mean, they've absolutely, with the help of the government, which they basically are the government too, they've hemmed everything in. They don't care. Their paychecks, their jobs, there's no way they can be fined enough to give a crap.
Well, that's exactly it. And that really is it in a nutshell. I mean, Bud Chardin and MSD entered into an $850 million EPA consent decree. We, the people who pay these bills, weren't consulted. They did this on their own. So that's already a point of contention for me, that they had the right to obligate me to pay all this money that they deemed necessary without checking with me first. That's already a bad thing. We had a 32% increase in our MSD rates, I believe it was back in 2006. We have had the maximum MSD rate increase we can have every year since. This year is about 0.5% lower, and that's only because they've been catching so much backlash on the almost 7% a year they've been doing. And as we can clearly see, the money is basically going to fines. They're not doing any work, or at least not this kind of work. I know the city of Louisville benefits a lot because they get sidewalks paid for by MSD and other perks that our tax money is supposed to pay for, not our MSD sewer charges. You know, and all of these things add up, and the only thing I'm sitting here thinking is, what gives? Why are we not getting any accountability out of MSD? Why are people like Tina Halbig actually dropping back and all of a sudden, you know, basically paying patronage to MSD? Who's paying who here? What's going on? Because I don't get this whole game, and it's very disturbing to me because we're going to continue paying more and more money for less and less services, you know, and now on top of that, you've got two other situations arising here. The Louisville Water Company and MSD are planning on merging. That's why they installed, and I say installed, Greg Heitzman as head of MSD to make that merge easier for them to handle, because Greg Heitzman ran Louisville Water Company, which is another illegal tax. Our good friends at Stop Invisible Taxes will attest to that. But Louisville Water Company is a private corporation that's 100% owned by the city of Louisville. They raise rates at will. They make profits every year. And all of that money is just basically an illegal tax because they turn it right back over to the city if they need it. So, you know, now we're going to combine these things. We're not going to have any accountability. And, oh, by the way, now they're talking about they're pushing this regional wastewater plan once again across the state of Kentucky to involve multiple counties, with MSD leading the way and running it. I mean, this is very disturbing, and it should be disturbing to the people in our communities who continue having these rates increased for no services. Would you agree with that?
Yep, but like we said last week, the fact of the matter is, you know, the toilet and the sink are magical. You turn the water on and it goes away, and you only get your bill every other month. So they're... It's something people don't understand. And like I say, it's magical. It's one of those things that I think most people couldn't even begin to fathom to live without. You know, you say the word septic system to them, or cesspool or something, and they're, No, keep it magical where it goes to the road and it goes somewhere else, you know, make it go away. And I think part of it is you only get your bill so often. Hell, most people probably get it automatically withdrawn and stuff, so it just shows up on an electronic bank statement. So they don't pay attention. They don't really pay attention. It goes up a little bit, you know. They don't know why. They don't really care. It works. It makes poop go away. And I think that's just where they're at. And the city knows they've got you there. It's just... Yeah, we're just in some cases very, very dependent and naive people. And
well, it's very disturbing.
They're going to prey on it, so that, you know, they've got most people.
It's very disturbing because they entered into this consent decree in 2005. They amended the consent decree in 2009. It's an $850 million plan to renovate a sewer system, and supposedly to reduce overflows. But in the meantime, because they haven't done anything, since 2007, the rates have gone up about 80%. We have almost doubled our rates from 2007 until now, and those rates will be doubled in the next 2 years in about a 6 or 7 year span. And on top of all of this, you know, you've got all of these overflows that are going on. It is causing backups in people's basements. It's causing, you know, backups in the streets, manholes. I haven't seen any lawsuits that I'm aware of. And folks, call me again, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. But if you've had a backup in your basement and you filed a lawsuit against MSD for their faulty overflow system, call me and let me know how that worked out, because I'm curious about that. I haven't seen any. And if their faulty overflow system is causing the backups in the basement, that's destroying your basement with mold or destroying your property or anything else, I think MSD should be accountable for that, and I think they should be sued for that. You know, we're paying a service, and they're obviously not taking care of their service. Am I wrong on that?
You know, I don't think so. But, you know, like I say, when I speak in terms of people, they cringe at the thought of actually understanding where it goes. Like I said, I live out in the country. I don't have sewers it back up into my house. If they do, it's my fault. It's my sewer system. It's my lateral field. So.
Well, yeah, but you're on septic. There's a difference. Yeah. You know, we're paying MSD for this sewer.
Yep.
We're forced into these sewer hookups and everything else. I was on septic at my house and never had a problem. But I was forced to hook up in MSD. I had no choice. The government said they're going to do it or else. So we're forced to do this. And, you know, their equipment is not working properly. And it's destroying people's personal property. I mean, there's a lot of people. You know, you have bedrooms downstairs. You know, you have extra living room downstairs, all those different things that, you know, is getting destroyed because of MSD not doing their job, and you're paying to be screwed. So I'm hoping that somebody's filed a lawsuit. I hope they call me, or you guys can write me with your story at myviewmatters@AOL.com, because I really, truly want to hear these stories. In the meantime, we're gonna go to break. When we get back from break, we're gonna get into one other little neighborhood story. But then I want to switch into a couple of national stories. I think it's interesting what we've just found out about Walmart's true cost. And we're going to ask ourselves why the White House is ignoring $67 billion a year, $67 billion a year in possible savings. So stick around, folks. We'll be right back. Listen to the Ed Spraker Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned. Something you want to say. And for everybody else, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. And Ed, before we go any further, let's go right to the phones. This is somebody calling on our 805 number. Welcome to the air. What can we do for you?
This is Ray. How you doing, Ed?
Ray Pierce. You know, I just mentioned you guys a few minutes ago, Stop Invisible Taxes. What's on your mind, brother?
Well, you know, I've been watching MSD like I have been for the last 7 years.
Yeah.
Things aren't changing much. Something's happening right now, you know, if you read Jim Brugger's article, you see where the EPA is fined us hundreds of thousands of dollars, and they're keep finding, you know, MSD for that. Well, the problem with that is we don't have any money. So they're borrowing money, evidently, to pay these fines. The problem I have with that, that's like borrowing money to pay off your credit card.
And you know, Ray,
I mean, you just don't do that. And I was looking up the definition of a board member. A board member is supposed to be a representative of the people. And mm-hmm. I'm sure they don't borrow money to pay off their debts. I mean, it's just you never get ahead. And for every dollar they borrow, it takes almost another dollar to pay it back. So
one of the things we proved a couple of years ago, and for our guys listening to this, Ray, I don't mean to cut you off for a second, but for our guys listening to this, you can go to edspringston.com. That's where I started my original blog, and we did all kinds of stories on MSD over the last few years there. And you're going to find this story and outline exactly what the spending is. Future Fund, our good friends over at Future Fund, actually coordinated on one of those stories, and I was alarmed because, you know, Ray, you're talking about for a dollar we borrow, it costs us almost a dollar to pay back. I mean, you're absolutely right. And what that means, folks, is it's costing us 90 cents on top of that dollar to pay it back. So for every dollar we borrow, we're going to pay back $1.90 in return. That's right, ain't it, Ray?
That's true, and I tell you something that I found. It seems like that several groups are using MSD as a money stream.
Yes.
That's like maybe 2 or 3 years ago, we give the Indiana Bat people $60,000. I mean, why are we giving our ratepayers money to all these people, the EPA, the Kentucky environmentalist? I mean, I have never seen this much corruption in one group of people in my life, and I don't know if you've heard or not, but I've been collecting some more information. I don't know if anybody's discussed it with you or not, but I've got over an inch thick document that I've accumulated on one person, and
right.
When I get it done, I'll share it with you. But this is in my opinion, criminal behavior at its best.
Well, it doesn't
get any better than this. And I've got three more documents that I'm waiting on right now, and then I'll get back with you, and we'll have a discussion about you know, how things are still moving on down the road just like they were.
Well, and what's really interesting here, too, though, Ray, I mean, you know, you live in a unique part of Southwest Louisville. I mean, the sewers over there overflow constantly. And for those of you who don't know, Ray Pierce is the president of Stop Invisible Taxes. Stop It is what we call it here at the show. I first met Ray Pierce and his operations manager, Paul Holliger, back in 2006 when I was running for mayor. And these guys brought MSD to my attention at that point because they couldn't get anybody to talk about it. Well, immediately I started talking about it because I thought it was that serious. But what's alarming is when we started uncovering everything and I started paying attention to what these guys were showing me and I started research, here's what we've got. And I want to thank Future Fund for a lot of this information as well. Jeff Frank has spent a large amount of his time putting this together. But with interest, MSD's debt is over 8 times that of Metro Louisville. And, folks, this isn't today. This was just a couple of years ago. This was back in 2010 is when this was out there, and that has gotten worse since then. To give you some more examples,
well,
I've got to put this out there.
Of course, I remember I've dealt with Jeff Frank some too, and we did a little research and found out that actually there's only one city or, you know, public type of entity that pays a higher rate on their bonds and their borrowing than MSD does, and that's TARP.
Right.
Well, you know, one thing,
and there's no reason for it because MSD has a cap. Like we said, they have a captive market. They have the government, you know, come in and mandate you got to hook up. So you've got no choice. They you know, and anymore they're getting you when it rains and they're getting you when it doesn't rain. So, you know, they've
right.
got a captive market. So there's no reason for them to pay the premiums they're paying.
Right.
Well, you know,
ahead,
MSD.
Except that they're just grossly mismanaged.
Yeah. Well, that's true, but MSD has a $200 million operating budget. Half of that has to go to debt service. When
right.
you have to spend half of your budget for debt service, you're in trouble.
Well,
the
reality
only way
is,
you can,
go ahead.
The only way that you know that you can dig your way out of that hole is to start raising rates more and more and more, and we're tired of it.
Well, I agree. And, you know, since our rates have went up 80% in 5 short years, and over the next 2 years it's going to equal a doubling, a total doubling of our rates since 2007. But for you guys who are paying attention, you got to understand that MSD accounts for over 66.5%. Think about that. Two-thirds. MSD accounts for two-thirds of Metro Louisville's total debt load. There is no other independently bonded unit of Louisville government, including Metro government, that breaks 10% of that total. I told you guys it costs you $1.90 in principal and interest for every dollar we borrow. I was wrong. It costs you $1.93. So, and this is mortgaged out to 2039, folks. 2039, $1.93 on every dollar we borrow. You know, when we get into this, I mean, let's break it down real easily. In 2010, it was $3,826 in debt for every man, woman, and child in Jefferson County, or $12,034 for every individual customer in MSD system. That's just to pay back the debt. They have over 3.4 times all the rest of Metro's debt load combined. That's crazy. That's
crazy.
Well,
you know, we're still getting tips on our tip line.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm working on some of those right now, and it's been brought to my attention that the group that has left MSD are now in Bullock County trying to set up that sort of service so they can do the same thing in Bullock, Hardin, and the other counties that signed on to that regional sewer system.
Rumor has it Bud Sardin is directly involved in that as well after being fired from MSD here.
Well, Johnson, the engineer,
anyway.
Is too. They
yeah.
tell me that he's working with a group down in Bullock County now. And, I mean, only thing I have to do is, and probably I'll do it this year, is I'll make some of the meetings in Bullock County and I'll just take the bills that I have here and show them what the MSD is doing to the people of Jefferson County. And
mm-hmm.
if you want this, just continue to do what you're doing.
Well,
and,
you know, if you can, Ray, do me a favor and send me your updated information. You know how to get a hold of me off air. Give me whatever updated information you've got, too, because I would like to see that. I know you've been attending the local meetings, and from what I understand, they're actually trying to keep you from talking again. Imagine that, right?
Yeah. Well, I was cut off at the last meeting. I said, well, it didn't take them but long to go back into the shard-eyed mode.
No, they usually don't. But, you know, to give everybody a comparison, when we talk about MSD debt, it's $1.93 for every dollar borrowed. I want you guys to understand this comparison, too. Riverport Authority, for every dollar they borrow, it costs them $1.09. So they're paying 9 cents. Louisville Metro, for every dollar they borrow, it's costing $1.23. The Louisville Water Company, now this is peculiar to me because the Louisville Water Company makes a profit each and every year. But the Louisville Water Company, it costs $1.49. for every dollar that they borrow. I can't understand that one. Park, as Ed mentioned a minute ago, $1.71. To give you some idea how we compare to other areas, Lexington has a dollar. Their debt equals $1.42 in payback. Louisville without MSD is $1.27 per dollar borrowed. So Louisville itself is in great shape if MSD stands alone, you know, but they don't do that. So now MSD has all of this debt. You know, and Ray, if I'm not mistaken, and you'll know more about this, we went through more financials of MSD than anybody I know. But if I'm not mistaken, you know, MSD spends this money not on sewer services, but they literally go out and put new sidewalks in neighborhoods that the city of Louisville wants them. They ask them to do it. They go out and do all kinds of landscaping. They spend a lot of money on behalf of Louisville so that Louisville doesn't have to spend the tax money that they take in for those services. Am I right or wrong?
Well, you're right, but I tell you what I need to tell your listeners. There's a meeting at 10 o'clock on the 10th of June, and more people beside Ray Pierce need to show up down there and complain about these rate increases. And the way to, you know, you complain about it, you have to justify what you ask for. So make sure that when you go up there and say, this is the reason we don't need to borrow any more money. And you know, analogies work really well. Somebody asked me about the MSD debt, and I said, well, the $2.6 billion that MSD owes, debt and debt service, will build 10 new bridges across the Ohio River. 10 new bridges. That's how much money this group has put us in debt.
No, I know, and that's incredible. And your good friend, your partner, Paul Holliger, happens to be in our chat room right now, and he's also pointing out another garbage MSD expense, if you will, the Bridge to Nowhere right here in PRP next to Thornhill's Pest Supplies. You know, they built this little park that's got room for one bench, put a couple of flowers in there, and built a bridge about 15 feet to go over a ditch so the people didn't have to walk 20 feet to go down the street to go around the ditch. And it cost thousands of dollars. I don't remember what the exact cost on that was.
It cost over $400,000.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, and it's like, you know, this is money that's wasted. You know, and we're not, you know, it's not doing one damn thing for the sewage overflows. It's incredible to me that we're continuing to go down this road. I'm going to go ahead and put a link to, for our listeners and people in the chat room, I'm going to go ahead and put a link to the MSD stories we have at edspringston.com. You guys really need to get on top of that. Ray, I'm going to switch gears on you, man. I appreciate the call. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, have a good day.
I appreciate it, sir. Thank you. I got to switch gears a little bit, Ed, because there's one other local thing, but I really want to get into this Walmart thing for the last segment if we can. But, you know, we've talking so much about crime, especially in Victory Park. We've been talking about West End crime and violence, the Bloods, the Crips, all the other garbage. Well, Councilman David James, you know, he actually caught some garbage in the Courier-Journal here a couple of weeks ago. By some random groups who say that nobody's doing anything about the crime in these areas. Well, Councilman David James is actually, he's the one that installed the Red Dot program that is now used to identify where the murders and killings are happening at. He's also went after the drug dealers and stuff. Councilman David James is a retired Metro officer. He was also the first chief of the Kentucky Bureau of Investigation, our state version of the FBI. You know, so he went on a police safety walk at Victory Park last weekend, and, you know, they were talking about, you know, they want to go through this. He wants to take all these guys, the cops, out of their cars. He wants to put them in the parks. You know, he's got the police knocking on doors throughout the California neighborhoods, Victory Park and all that. They're passing out flyers. They're going after gambling, firearms, alcohol in the parks, everything. They're trying to put a focus on making this a better place. But he hasn't just put his mouth out there or walking the streets out there. You know, he's put together a three-month program. Officers are required to get out of their police cars. They're required to patrol the neighborhood on foot, which I think is a great thing, get back to neighborhood policing. And he's also spending $11,000 out of his discretionary funds to fund the police for overtime for the additional officers they need for this. Now, I think that's an example of what we need to be doing with discretionary funds. Would you agree or disagree?
Well, I don't even think it needs to be a discretionary fund because, you know, we've covered that a number of times. Like, look, when we have crime, when we have murders, let's just get rid of the discretionary fund. You know, that's used at the discretion of the individual council critters. And let's just put it all, you know, however much money it is, you know, a couple $1 million. Let's just put it all in one fund and, you know, it's like, look, we got a crime problem, fix it.
Well, what's really interesting...
Pour the money in. I mean, I'm an East Ender. You know, my councilman, I don't know if J.T. Miller uses his discretionary fund or not. Out here in the East End, I don't care. You know,
well, it's,
I live on a farm. I truly don't care.
Well, it's fascinating here. I mean, and I've got to be honest here. I'm very critical of LMPD these days, and I will continue to be so. I think LMPD is completely out of control with the way that they handle average, everyday citizens. However, you get into a situation like this, you know, and councilman is stepping up to the plate. We've got police officers stepping up to the plate. You have to give some credit where it's due. What's really disturbing here is, you know, there's a lot of people in the neighborhood so-called leaders, if you will, are scared that having a bigger police present is going to result in harassment and profiling. Now, I understand those concerns. I've been victimized by LMPD. I've been harassed. I've been arrested and everything else, illegally so. It's proven. I've got the apology letter from Chief Conrad apologizing for the way his officers handles everything. I've been through that. I understand that concern. However, you're talking about two major gangs, the Bloods and the Crips. As far as I'm concerned, they're the jokes of jokers. If these guys were real men, you wouldn't have these problems. But, you know, they're creating all this havoc. The neighborhoods are having serious, serious issues with shootings and homicides. And we're taking a chance on doing something different here. What I really like, and this is a big deal for me, is Major Bill Christofek. He runs the 2nd Division for that area. And he says that it's very important to improve police relations and make officers more accessible. And the way that they want to do this, again, like I said, according to Bill, they're going to get police out of the police car, make contact with the citizens, community, and the residents. We need to know each other. Officers are not going to ride around in police cars in this detail. They're going to walk the streets. They're going to bike the streets, whatever. And that, I think, is the message that needs to be sent. Does that make sense?
Yeah. And sympathetic to your run in, and I'm sure people are, you know, all around getting harassed by the police every once in a while.
There's
a huge difference in some uppity young cop blowing somebody some crap and booking them or whatever, because, he's just feeling his oats on that day versus almost a saturation of cops in an area that would have, as David Jane would note, too many red dots. I mean, when you ask anybody, do you have a drug problem? Do you have a crime problem? Do you have a murder problem or a violent crime problem in a certain area? You know, there's no way in some neighborhoods that you can go, maybe. It's like, no, in some neighborhoods, it's definite. There are some serious problems, and it calls for a temporary ratcheting up of police presence, because it's just like when you have insects, you got ants or something coming in your house, or bugs or weeds in your yard or anything. You know, let's just go on and call criminal weeds. You know, they're pests. They're useless. They need to be taken care of.
Right.
But you got to hit it. You got to hit it. You got to hit it hard. You got to get them gone, and then you stand down. It's not permanent, but it's like, look, California neighborhood or other neighborhoods, you've got a definite problem right now, and it's not just something you got to kind of grow your way out of. No, it's going to take some enforcement. It's going to take some stepping up. It's probably going to take some exceptional, intervention, and it might get inconvenient for a while. But you know what? Having your kids having to sleep in the tub because you're afraid they're going to get winged by a stray bullet while they're sleeping in their bed, that's kind of inconvenient too.
Well, I'll agree with that statement. Let's go to the phones. This is another call on our 805 number. What can we do for you?
Hey, Mayo. Hey, Ed. What is
hey, Mayo. What's going on, man? What's on your mind?
Much. I'm just kind of curious, but I mean, kind of going back to what Stoppett was talking about. Not all of us are, let's say, as politically savvy as you, et cetera, but who is supposed to be watching what MSD is doing, the waste, the fraud, or et cetera, and who can we call to kind of light a fire? I mean, aldermen, councilmen, boardmen, mayor's office, what?
Well, what I suggest is everybody call their councilman and tell them you've got some grave concerns with MSD. Call the mayor's office and overload his phone network. But when it comes to accountability, we found out just last year, or a year and a half ago, I guess by now, we found out that accountability basically has been non-existent. Crit Llewellyn's office, when she was in charge of accounting there, Crit Llewellyn's office was tasked with auditing MSD, and the first thing that she did was let MSD audit itself. That was already a major red flag to me. Of course, Crit Llewellyn came back later and ended up doing the audit on her own, and they found all kinds of discrepancies, and ultimately that led to Bud Shardine leaving MSD. So we know we can get accountability, but this was a multi-year project just to get that far. Now, as far as who's responsible for the day-to-day, it's really interesting because MSD is one of those what we call a quasi-governmental agency. They supposedly stand alone, but yet they use Louisville's financials for everything. The bonding, the financing, everything that they do is interlinked to Louisville's financials. So when we talk about, when I was mentioning a minute ago about the debt load, the debt service, and all of that stuff, MSD's portion is $1.93 per dollar borrowed. You know, that affects our ability to borrow because we've got to put up, you know, our resources, our accounting, and everything else from Metro Louisville to back this stuff. So, you know, it's going to affect our credit rating and everything else long term. So, you know, there's a lot of things here. I don't like any of this quasi-governmental crap that they pull. I'm sure there's somebody out there that can explain it a lot better than I can. But the bottom line is we really essentially don't have a uniform set of control where you have public service or the public services and everything else. You know, you have to go, LG&E, for example, has to go to Frankfurt to request a rate increase. And they have to go through there through utility commissioner and everything else, and they have to determine whether that rate increase is necessary or not, and they have to negotiate that rate increase until the utilities commissioner stuff comes up with a way to make it beneficial. So LG&E may go and request an 8% increase in rates, but the utilities will come back and say, nope, you're going to get stuck. The public utilities will come back and say, you're going to get stuck with 4%, and that's it. And LG&E has to accept that. You don't have that with MSD or Louisville Water. The only thing we have is something generic that says that MSD can raise rates up to 7% every year without any approval. If they go over 7%, then they have to seek Metro Council approval. So what they do is in 2006, they increased the rates 32%. The Metro Council agreed to do that. Remember, your local Democrats did that for you, folks, because they have all the power on the Metro Council, and they did then as well. So your local Metro Council Democrats approved a 32% rate increase, and what MSD has done every year since is keep it just below 7%. So I don't know other than calling, constantly, your council members, the mayor, you know, call Frankfurt, find out, call your legislatures, your state legislators, your House and your Senate, and ask them why MSD and Louisville Water Company are not under the public utilities. They should be. They should have to explain and justify their rate increases just like LG&E and everybody does with the electric part of it. Why is sewer and water off the hook? Long explanation, Mayo, but I don't know a way to shorten that up for you. Hello.
No, yeah. I mean, the info's okay. Good. I mean, not just for me, but for anyone else, you know, that's listening.
Right.
You know, but like I said, I didn't know if there was, you know, you mentioned Chris Llewellyn. I mean, what did her audit find, or did, you know, she let them do their audit first?
Well, they did.
You know,
did
it find any malfeasance or cheating or?
Well, what they found, what MSD found in their own internal audit that they first gave to Chris Llewellyn was basically a couple of minor offenses. It wasn't any big deal. Said, yeah, we're going to fix this on our own. When Chris Llewellyn came back in, all of a sudden Larry Zielke was found. Larry Zielke was MSD's attorney. He's got a private law firm, and he had been paid at that point, I believe, over $5 million aggregate total for MSD for private attorney fees. But MSD employs their own legal staff, so there was no reason for that. You know, so they found all kinds of things like that. Now Larry Zielke is not getting that money anymore. We were able to get rid of him, get rid of Bud Chardin. MSD has been loaded with these kind of political favors and insiders for many, many years. And our good friend Paul Holliger over at Stop It just put in a chat room, and he's right about this. This is a great way to put this. But MSD has no restrictions on expenses because there's no accountability to them for expenses. So when that ratio goes out of whack, MSD is compelled to raise the rates as high as they want to. You know, so it is very interesting. If you don't have any limits on expenses, then you can increase expenses to justify increased rates. So, you know, I thank you for that, Paul. That's a good thing. Ed Martin, weigh in.
Well, do any better than that. I mean, you know, the fact of the matter is they do. They control everything. They're not. And the thing that's always bothered me about it is that we talked about the bonding issue. That goes way back in our little bitch fest about MSD. But nobody's accountable for anything. They make bad decisions. They make up bad swaps. They're losing lots and lots of money on. You know, it hadn't been realized, but so far it's on the books. They're losing money. Nobody gets creamed for it. They just raise your rates. So like you said, there's no incentive. If they're not making the money, they raise the rates. And that's like you said, they're all appointed by city people. they're all political. It took forever to get rid of Sardine, and you know, nothing happens, and nobody cares. Nobody cares about the rates. Nobody cares about these guys making some serious bank while they're mismanaging things and raising rates because they can't keep their expenses under control. Yet no heads roll.
Hey, that's exactly.
I mean,
true.
I don't mind any person or corporation making money. Everybody should make a profit so they can stay in business. But the thing here, I thought at one point in our government, however long ago, I mean, that's why they broke up, you know, Ma Bell. And that's why they broke up the railroads, and that's why they broke up the Seven Sisters, all the gas corporations.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, they have a monopoly. It's not like I, you know, unless I put in a septic tank or a leach field, you know, I can't not be on, you know, sewer. So,
but you know,
why isn't,
what
you,
really,
you know?
Well, what do we really have to say?
You know, somebody
has
shared
it
for them, let's say. Sorry.
Well, sure. Well, I'm just saying, with all these cable services available around the country, internet services available around the country, and we're scared to let anybody compete against the Insider, now Time Warner here in Louisville. I mean, what can you say? I mean, really, these guys get paid. They get what they want out of the deal. You know, we the people are secondary, and that is the whole problem. So I'm not sure what we can do other than continue bringing as much attention to these issues as we can. And literally beg people, get involved, call your legislatures, force these guys into compliance. You know, we continue to gripe and moan and groan about tax rates that we pay every day. And I'm one of those people. I'm on that bandwagon. I think I pay way too many taxes. However, the taxes we're used to, it's a set amount. We know what we're going to have there. But these continual yearly rate increases on water, on MSD, you know, all the other things that go with it, the day-to-day game that they're playing with gas prices, for example, all this affects our bottom line. It takes even more money out of our pocket, and this is that invisible tax. This is what we've got to worry about. When you have, you know, Louisville Water Company being owned by the city of Louisville, but as a private corporation, Louisville gets 100% of the stock and all the profits accordingly, and there's no oversight there. That's a problem. When you do this with MSD, who basically does anything they want to justify anything they want to, that's a problem as well. And, you know, so we've really got to start looking at these issues. Mayo, we're flat out of time, man. I appreciate the phone call. I thank you so much. Ed Martin,
thank
dude,
you.
This hour is flying by. Final thoughts.
Well, you know, final thoughts, it's actually a bit of frustration, kind of going off on a tangent where you just were. Is, you know, you always ask, how come this happens? How come this happens? You know, we always got an explanation. It's, you know, people are busy. It's bi-monthly billing. It's always something. But, you know, when it gets down to it, the reason they pull it off is because people don't get engaged. People don't pay attention. And that's truthfully, that's what everything from major corporations that kind of got you beholden or kind of bleeding you dry one way or the other, or governments are doing it. They count on you not being engaged. And it's frustrating for you and I because, you know, we've sent files back and forth, you know, oh, look at how they're pissing money away and stuff. And, you know, we see it and we try to put it out there for people. Free of charge, mind you. You know, we're not asking people to pay for it. But we put it out there and, you know, it gets frustrating. And sometimes I just get to a point, it's like, look, you know what? When I get my bill from the water company or whatever, and I see the drainage fee, I know what it is. And at least I have, you know, at least I have a sense to be pissed off about it. It's not so much that I'm going to get a lawyer and go after them because there's no payback. But at least I know what I'm looking at. And so many people don't even care. And sometimes I just want to throw my hands up in the air and go, you know what? If you don't care, fine. You know, totally fine. You know what? It's going to be $200 a year out of your pocket. You're not going to know where it came from, you know, where it went to or where it's going. You don't know. You don't know why to build it. But you know what? It's your $200. And if you're not going to get pissed off about it, I saved you from yourself.
I'm totally with you there, my friend. I really am. Because that is the most alarming thing of all. You know, we have gotten to the point in this country where we just accept, you know, whatever they're going to do to us, there's nothing we can do about. And that is so wrong because we, the people, are the power. That's the bottom line. But unfortunately, we have so many people that would rather cower in fear than to stand as one. You know, we continue in this country. We talk about like unions and labor and standing together, unity, unity, unity. What about a union of like-minded people? you know, people that say, you know, they're right. We have too much of this. We're paying too much in these invisible taxes. We're not getting any guarantee in our money. If I buy a shirt at a Walmart or a Myers, and I take it back for whatever reason, they are going to stand behind their product. They're going to give me a refund. They're going to give me store credit. Whatever it is, they're going to stand behind their product because for whatever reason, I was an unhappy customer. We don't get that from most of the businesses and things like this who aren't doing the retail thing. We don't get that from MSD. We don't get that from Louisville Water. When we got 135 million gallons of raw sewage.
We don't demand it from them. That's our problem.
That's exactly it. That's exactly what I'm trying to get to. Because, you know, they continue to do this stuff because you'll see customers go into customer service at a Walmart, a Myers, Target, insert name here. I don't care where you shop at. And those guys will say, I'm not happy with this. I demand satisfaction, and they're going to get it. That's just one customer. Can you imagine what would happen if over 200,000 customers in MSD stood up and said no more? If we stood as one, go down to 6th and Jefferson. Go down to MSD headquarters. Stand outside. Take up that whole street. Take up that parking lot. Hold up a sign that says no more rate increases. We're sick of this. Hold these guys accountable. Something would happen. But it never does, unfortunately. I apologize to our listeners. We did not get to the Walmart situation tonight that I wanted to do. We are going to get to that tomorrow night, Ed, so you'll be ready. It's very interesting how much Walmart is costing we, the American taxpayers, each and every year. It is alarming if you want to look at that. We also have a recent report from March. Apparently, Obama doesn't want to save $67 billion a year. We've got ways to do that, and this is from his own. This is from his own House Committee on Oversight and Government Reform, Democrats at that. So we've got all kinds of things going on tomorrow night. We've got a 14-year-old that was in Miami-Dade police. I just can't even begin to tell you the story on that. We'll talk about it tomorrow night. And then a very interesting story that's developing in Minnesota. Everybody knows Michelle Bachmann has dropped off of rerunning for that seat. Well, apparently her Democratic rival, Jim Graves, has decided to do the same thing. So we will do a lot of that. We'll get into those stories tomorrow night. For you guys, in the meantime, the next board meeting in MSD is on June the 10th. That's a week from today at 9 a.m. Make sure you make plans to attend and stand up. Fill that place up. Don't let them off the hook. In the meantime, that's it for tonight. Mr. Martin, we will see you tomorrow night.
All right, sir. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. Appreciate your time. And thank you so much for listening, folks. Thanks for the phone calls, Ray and Mayo, and for all you guys in the queue and across the airways. We wouldn't be able to do this without you, so we appreciate it. Take care. God bless. Have a safe night.